Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Stephen Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And it's another show. We're talking about a case study of should you pay off debt or should you invest in more property? Now, this is probably one of the most common questions we get from listeners of the show. So we're going to go through a bit of a case study. I know I've done some of these before, but this is going to be a really interesting one because some property investors either save or come across additional funds and they say, should I pay off some debt or should I invest in another property? And the simple answer, of course, is it depends where you are in your journey. So we got an email the other day from Bob and Rebecca, and I just want to drill down into some of their options, some of their numbers. So Andrew, what were Bob and Rebecca saying?
So the key things are they're mortgage free on their own house, which is awesome. And they've just settled their first investment property, which is great. Now, they've saved up an extra $80,000 because it sounds like their business is going really, really well. And their question was, do I take that 80K and pay off 80K of the investment debt, or do I use that as a deposit on an investment property?
And a lot of this comes back to goals, right? Of like, well, what do you want to achieve? So why are they investing in property?
So their goal is to generate $100,000 a year passive income in 20 years' time. Now, they're doing really, really well because they're already mortgage-free on their own house and the value of that's about $1 million. Their investment property is valued at $650,000 and the mortgage is $650,000 and it's principal and interest over 30 years. Now, you might be thinking, why is it principal and interest? Don't you always say interest only? Well, they're already mortgage-free on their own house, so there's nothing wrong with them paying down investment debt. Now, they don't have a whole lot of other assets. They've got a bit of KiwiSaver, the business, whether or not that's got a value, I don't know, but not much else.
Okay, so that's what they want to achieve. Let's talk about the different options they could do with this 80 grand. So I suppose the first option would be to keep the money in the bank and they just keep doing what they're doing. What would life look like if they just did that? Keep the money in the bank.
Okay, so not a hugely efficient way of doing it because interest rates are so high at the moment on their mortgage and their savings rate will be much less. But let's say they did do that, they might get 3.25% after tax on that $80,000 in a savings account. Now, over the next 20 years, their total passive income with the assets we've already discussed would be about 65 grand.
Now, how does that work?
That's their one investment property, their KiwiSaver, plus the 80K in the bank generating that 3.25% after tax.
Now, so how does that work? So you've got a property, they've got some KiwiSaver, they've got 80K in the bank. How does that give them 65 grand in passive income?
So the property is going to continue to go up in value. They're going to continue to contribute to KiwiSaver. They'll get the employer contribution as well. Plus, they're going to generate interest on that $80,000 in the bank. So they've got three assets, I suppose, going up in value over time.
Okay, so I get that. So in 20 years, they've got this property. It's gone up in value. They've got some KiwiSaver. They've got some money in the bank. But how does that generate the 65 grand in passive income that you're talking about?
So the way we work the numbers is they liquidate those investments and then they turn them into high yielding investments that generate a net 4% return.
So just so I and everybody who's maybe new to the show have got this. So we build up this pool of assets. Then we either, you know, go ahead and buy some high yielding, usually dual income properties and we live off the rental income or generate a 4% yield through any other investment you might find. So that's how we get to the 65 grand.
Yeah, so there's 65,000 of 100,000. Like these guys are doing really, really well, particularly if they're 20 years away from retirement. But one of the key things here that I'd highlight is they've still got a wealth gap.
And when you say wealth gap, what do you mean by that?
So you got to think about, okay, well, what's my goal? $100,000 a year in this case. When do you want to achieve that goal? So they want it in 20 years' time. And what are you doing to achieve that goal right now? So in this case, they've got one investment property, they've got a KiwiSaver, and they've got another $80,000 that they may choose to invest some way. Now, how are they on track for that entire $100,000? And then based on what they're doing now, are they on track to hit that goal? Now, in this case, they do have a wealth gap because there's a shortfall between what they're going to achieve with these assets and what they want to achieve. And the scary thing for everyone listening to the show or anyone that's looking at their finances is actually kind of digging down into that wealth gap and seeing if you do have one. Look, even if you've got one, whether or not you admit it or otherwise, you're going to have to do something about it, right? So sitting down and actually working out how close am I to my wealth goal, that's a really brave thing to do, and then you can choose to do something about it or not.
And I think the thing here is if we think about their specific wealth gap, the issue is that their goal is 100K. That's the passive income they want. They're on track for $65,000, right? Passive income. So in terms of the passive income that they want versus what they're going to get, they're about $35,000 short. And so what do they need to do? Well, they need to build up some more assets. If they have some more assets, then they could get that 4% return we talked about. They're going to be more on track to hit that goal. And so, as Andrew said, once you figure it all out, you can do something about it. So, Andrew, in this case, if they take the 80K, they just put it in the bank, they're not going to hit their goal. So what would you say to them?
It's not a very effective use of that money. Got to do something else.
Yeah, so how can you use that 80 grand to better close your wealth gap? The lens a lot of people look at this through is, oh, well, what should I do? Should I use this 80K to pay off debt or should I use to invest? The right question to ask first would be, are you on track to close your wealth gap? Are you on track for your long-term financial goals? And if you are, then you can say, oh, well, fine. I'm going to take that money. I'm going to pay off debt because if I pay off debt, that's going to improve my cash flow. Less debt, less interest payments. But in these guys' case, that's probably not the right decision because they still have a wealth gap. They still need to accumulate more assets before they start paying off more debt. And so if we look at option two would actually be to reduce their debt on their investment property. Now, I just told you that wasn't the right thing to do. I've skipped ahead for myself, but let's go through this. So let's say they took that 80 grand and they paid off the money on their investment property mortgage. So the mortgage went from 650K down to 570K. Well, because that's going to improve their cash flow, maybe they can reduce the term on their investment property mortgage, right? So rather than paying it off over 30 years, maybe they can pay it off now over 24 years by reducing their debt but keeping their payments the same. Now, based on that, it's probably going to save them about $4,000 a year, but it doesn't actually move the needle much. It takes them from about, you know, if we zoom forward into the future, about a $65,000 passive income takes them up to about a $66,000 passive income. So in terms of using this 80 grand to achieve their investment goals, if you just pay off debt, it doesn't actually move the needle much.
It makes very low, $1,000 a year.
Yeah, really, really low impact by paying off the debt and keeping the repayments the same. So let's move to option three. What if they bought a second investment property?
Okay, so let's say they want to buy an additional investment property and say it costs $700,000. Now remember, they've got $80,000 that they can use towards that deposit. Now, let's say they've got all this equity in their own house that's kind of not doing much for them other than giving them a nice place to live. So maybe we use some equity, some cash deposit. So you might keep back $30,000 in this interest rate environment just to help with the cash flow right now and use $50,000 towards your deposit. And then you're going to need to borrow another $90,000 against your house and then obviously the 80% against the investment property. Now you've got a $700,000 asset, which you've got a $650,000 mortgage on, and that property can go into their wealth plan. Now, if we fast forward 20 years, how does that affect their end passive income? Well, this pushes their passive income up to $82,500 a year. So that's an additional $17,000 a year. So based on what they're trying to achieve, $100,000 a year passive income, this has a far more meaningful impact on closing that wealth gap than either of the first two scenarios, keeping the money in the bank or paying it off the investment mortgage.
And one of the key questions a lot of people are going to be thinking is like, okay, but what's this based on? So how are we getting to 83 grand of passive income by buying another house? Like, how does this all work?
Well, it's based on that property going up in value over time and them continuing to get growth on the other investment property that they already own, plus contributing to KiwiSaver.
Yeah, and the difficulty with a lot of these calculations is it actually takes a bit of number crunching because even if you think about your KiwiSaver, you're investing in KiwiSaver, you're doing 3%, you're getting 3% matched, but over time your income's going to be going up as well. And on top of that, you've got the government contribution. Your income's going up, but the government contribution hasn't changed over the last decade or so since KiwiSaver came in, so you can't adjust that for inflation and rising incomes. And, you know, all of this nerdy stuff, I think that's why we try and just cut out all of the nerdy number crunching. We'll show you that at one of our upcoming webinars. But the key thing to just focus on is the more assets you have, the more assets you buy, The more assets you create, the better your passive income, or the more income you are able to generate later on, the more you are able to spend later on in life, right? Because if you've got 10 investment properties and you buy them over time, you're going to be better off than if you buy one investment property, you know, the vast majority of the time. You could say to me, oh, Ed, but what about a situation where property prices go down 50% or something like that? Yes, in a world where that happened, yeah, you might be worse off owning 10 properties. But most of the time, if you build an investment portfolio of more properties, later on in life, you're going to be able to spend more. You're going to have a higher passive income compared to if you buy fewer investment properties. Now, let's look at a fourth option though, Andrew, because in the scenario you just outlined, this couple are getting to about an $83,000 passive income per year. So that doesn't completely close their wealth gap. That doesn't completely get them to the goal. So let's look at a really aggressive strategy.
So let's say they want to try and completely close that wealth gap, filling it with property. So let's say we wanted to use the no cash needed method. Now, this is where you use equity in your family home rather than use cash deposits. So you're going to borrow 100% to buy investment properties. Now, if you do that, you could keep the $80,000 cash to help with cash flow. Because remember, now you're going to have three rental properties rather than just one. And if your existing rental is already costing you cash flow, you probably want to have a little bit of cash back. Now, if you then go out and buy two more rental properties at $700,000 each, fast forward that 20 years in the future, again, assuming you contribute to KiwiSaver and assuming that you get growth on those properties, your total net worth, excluding your house, in 20 years' time is going to be around $3.4 million. If you follow that methodology again of liquidating those, paying off any debt, using that money to invest in high-yielding properties, getting a 4% net return, your passive income would be about $101,000 a year. That gets these people to that goal. Now, don't get me wrong, this is an aggressive strategy. They have to be comfortable with the risk of buying another two rental properties, taking on 100% debt on both of those rental properties, but does give them the benefit of having that $80,000 still in the bank to manage some cash flow a little bit. Plus, they could use that to offset some of the debt using an offset mortgage. But for these people who have got 20 years to retirement, that's probably quite an effective use of their equity, but also their cash.
I think the main thing here is just, when we think about, should I pay off debt or should I invest? Before you start running calculations of, okay, what's my return if I invest or what's my return if I pay off debt? The first question you really need to ask yourself is, am I on track for my financial goals? So if I zoom 20 years ahead into the future and you close your eyes, you know, what does your perfect day look like? Are you still going to work or have you retired early? You know, what are you doing in that day? Are you lying on the beach or are you maybe over in Europe or maybe you're volunteering at the local hospice shop or whatever it happens to be for you? So we've got to think about, what does that end goal look like? How much money do you need to spend each year to live that lifestyle? And therefore, if you need $100,000 or $50,000 a year, passive income, not having to go to work for it, to live that lifestyle, how many assets do you need? And once you figure that out, you can say, okay, well, if I've got an asset goal now, I can figure out whether I'm on track for it. And if you figure out that you're not on track for it, you've got a wealth gap, you could do something about it. So actually, before we think, well, what's the return on paying down debt? What's the return if I invest it? The real question is, are you on track to live the life you want to live in 10, 15, 20 years' time? And then if you are on track for it, happy days. That's where you can say, okay, well, do I want to invest some more? Do I want to pay off some debt? And if you're not on track for it, if you have that wealth gap, that's where you say, well, I need to invest more. I need more assets, because if I have more assets, I'll have more income later on. I'll be able to spend more. I'll be able to live that lifestyle that I want to. And I think you get a bit caught up in some of the technical numbers that we've gone through here, but actually the answer is quite simple. These people are not on track for their financial goals. They need to invest more rather than saying, well, I'm going to pay down debt now and take the benefit of having lower mortgage repayments. Now, of course, this is a personalized financial advice. And what I'm saying by that is, we're not saying to Bob and Rebecca, go ahead and buy two investment properties right now that are both $700,000. Because, of course, you'd want to sit down with a financial advisor and actually figure out what's right for you. But this just gives you an idea about how do you go about tackling that question of, should I pay down debt or should I invest? Right, let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us get the message out to more people. And as I said, we've got an upcoming webinar. It is on Tuesday, the 14th of May, 7 p.m. as usual. And this is going to be a good one because we're going to go through situations like this. talking about how to build a $100,000 passive income plan in just 52 minutes. And we're going to give you guys the tools so you can actually visualize your wealth and think about what your life looks like in 15, 20, 25 years' time. If you want to come along to that, links down in the show notes, tap or swipe over the cover art, links in there, or just go to opuspartners.co.nz/webinar. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Steve McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.